Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. But first, this is Pastor Bob Enyart with our Denver Bible Church update. I've got in the studio Doug McBurney. Doug, thanks for filling in last night.
Hey, no.
Oh, let's bring Doug up. Doug's microphone. There we go.
No problem. Glad to do it, Bob.
Yeah, I was
glad
in
to
the,
sit in. Glad to be here tonight, too.
I was in the hospital for 4 hours, but I'm fine.
Yeah.
Everything is fine and great.
That's a relief.
Yeah.
That was a little scary.
But this is the church update section.
That's right. And you know what? So, that brings to mind, in one of your updates last week, you brought up the idea, or you wanted to talk about the idea, of Christians who believe that God has someone specifically picked out for them as a husband or a wife. And
like God's plan for me. I'm single, and I want to get married.
Right.
And I got to figure out who God picked out for me.
Exactly.
But God doesn't actually come down and point her out to you. You got to figure it out. That's a Christian belief.
Yeah. I know guys like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About a bazillion of them.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about that is many of the people who believe that think, but you could go out of God's will and marry the wrong person.
Oh, you could.
Either intentionally or just because you're confused.
Just in ignorance.
Yeah. And so the weird thing about that is if God has planned, we've got 5-6 billion people in the world. He's planned who everybody's going to marry.
He's got everybody teamed up already.
His perfect will.
Right.
But then one moron in Aurora, he forget the right woman for him. He goes off and marries some floozy. And so here's this woman, this godly Christian woman, and God had arranged for her to marry this guy, but he married the wrong woman. Now she's stuck.
Right. What happens to her?
Yeah. So either she's going to be a spinster
or
she's going to get married.
And she's going to be
married to the
wrong guy.
The second guy, the second choice, not God's best for her.
So before
you know it, it's just a mess. They set off this chain reaction.
So now if you think about that from the just statistically evaluating it, that whoever messed up maybe 3-4 thousand years ago, by now it's just a disaster.
Yeah, right. It's right.
Can you see and him up there in heaven checking them off and crossing them out and trying to
like God bothers to go through all the lists. This is my best number one plan.
Right.
Okay, they blew that one. So here's my second choice. You're probably up to your 30th or 40th choice by
it
now.
It ends up it looks like the NCAA tournament brackets in heaven. They're scratching people out. Oh,
yeah, Zsa Zsa Gabor. I don't know where she fit in on whose plan she was originally.
Well,
but most people don't even know who she is anymore.
But she got to plan 5 or 6.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's not it. So what is God's will for my life? You have to discover this mysterious will.
Yes.
You've got to look at tea leaves, chicken entrails, read the clouds.
Right.
Try to see, do I see her initials in the clouds?
Yeah.
Lord, if you want me to marry her, make the wind blow the curtain.
Now, I'm starting to get the feeling that you don't subscribe to this point of view that,
God has someone
picked out.
It's such a pagan view.
Pagan view?
Yeah, God's view, God's will in the Bible is stated clearly. God says, do not be unequally yoked.
Right.
So if you're a believer, then marry a believer. That's God's will for you. The Bible doesn't say that you have to be on a quest to discover the identity of the one that God has chosen. Otherwise, forget it. You're ruined for life.
You know, a lot of people, they think that's actually in the Bible.
That's pagan. That's paganism. That's what it is. It's not real Christianity. And God doesn't toy with our heads. I've picked out the right one for you, and now you got to figure out who it is. That's ridiculous.
That would be.
And it's not in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible. See, that's where I think a lot of people, they don't really know what's in the Bible, what's not in the Bible. And they, you know, a pastor might have taught it when they were 9 years old, that it's, and then they figure it's in there.
So God's will for your life is that you not be unequally yoked.
Right. Exactly.
If you're going to marry, marry a believer.
Right.
If you're an unbeliever, marry an unbeliever. Don't mess somebody's life up.
Don't mess with us, man.
So marry an unbeliever if you're a pagan.
Yeah.
But if you're a believer, marry a believer. That's God's will for your life. Come on out and visit us at Denver Bible Church, 6200 West Hampton. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth. And now, stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Don't
greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Bob, but there's a smell in the studio.
Smell? What is it?
Have you picked that up?
Chicken? Lemon chicken?
No.
What?
Oh, it's the ew.
Oh, the ew.
That's ew. Yeah, that's what the European Union. Yeah, the ew.
They name themselves these weirdest things, the ew and the un.
The un? Yeah.
The un. The
what were they
Nations.
Thinking about? They obviously not very forward thinking, or they just didn't plan too far into the future.
Yeah, the ew.
Unskamnovic or whatever they
unscum.
Had going. All that
Let's
stuff.
Let's try to unscum.
But the ew, there's a story from the ew, and I didn't mean to interrupt. We want to give the phone number. If folks want to participate in the program, the number to call is 800-836-9278. We're going to get to the story on the ew, but that doesn't prevent you from participating in the show at 1-800-836-9278.
And, Doug, for anybody who missed the Denver Bible Church update section, I want to thank you for filling in for me last night.
Oh, well, no problem. It was my pleasure.
Yeah.
But I was disturbed in that you had gone to the hospital, and so it was difficult to pull that off last night.
But I'm fine. I had... Yeah. Some muscular difficulty.
Yeah, it's
going
good.
On.
Well, you know, you go to the doctor, make sure everything's okay.
You know, I've had an MRI, a couple MRIs lately, and I've got this herniated disc in my neck.
Oh, man. Those are brutal.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. And so my right arm has been tingling for 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
But that's fine. The worst thing in the world is have about 40,000 people say, Bob, how's your arm? How's your arm? How's your arm? How's your arm?
All right, let's
how's
just, your arm? Let's how's not your arm? Talk about
how's
that anymore on the air.
I'm going to cut it off if two more people ask me, how's my arm? It's not worth it.
All right,
but
now.
Anyway, I'm fine. And,
yeah, everything's going
thanks
great.
Thanks for doing the show.
It was a kick.
It was a kick.
And later on in the program, we'll finish some unfinished business from last night. Now we have a choice. We can go to the phones at 1-800-836-9278. We can go to the phones.
No,
or we
let's
can
start the show. Go let's to the do the news.
The All right. Well, there's a poll out in the EU, and more Europeans named Israel as a threat to world peace than any other country.
Right,
in a
Israel.
Poll.
Europe really hates Israel.
What's up with that?
Hate Israel.
I thought that after with what all that happened back there in the '30s and '40s that they would be repentant.
Yeah, just like France and Germany. In France, you know, Germany, they had the Nazis originated in Germany, but the French, they didn't mind so much what they were doing to the Jews in Germany.
And like half the French people became Nazis from what I've read.
Yeah, right. And so anyway, but they can't outwardly be anti-Semitic because it doesn't fly in the politics today.
Right.
So they're anti-Semitic in a secondhand way. They support Hamas, for example.
Yeah, they sell rockets and missiles and bomb parts to terrorists.
Yeah, and they support Arafat, the Palestinian Authority, Hamas. They don't even want to call it a terrorist organization. For years, they've resisted that. So it's an indirect anti-Semitism to support those who are trying to kill the Jews.
Right.
So you're not accused of doing it directly.
I see. Well, there's a comment here. By the way, just so people know, the EU poll – conducted in mid-October, found that 59% of EU citizens said that Israel posed a, quote, threat to peace in the world. And Israel finished ahead of Iran was second, North Korea was third.
In the United States.
And the U.S. The United States was fourth.
53% of the EU. I guess it was a check which countries are the most destabilizing.
On a scale from 1 to 10, or I don't know how
and
they
so
did
the
it,
U.S., 53% of EU citizens said that the U.S. is a threat to world peace.
Unbelievable.
So it is unbelievable. Israel, instead of Iran or Syria.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. So on. But
I want to – even the people in Europe, even the defender or the defenders of Israel, like Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, he couldn't come out. There's a comment from him, a quote that I'm going to read here. And you would
any
expect –
any guy with the name Silvio.
Silvio. That's the – no, it's the masculine, Silvio. Yeah.
but it's too close to Sylvia.
well,
it's
Sylvia.
Just not right.
It's just too close, huh? He's European. What do you expect? Well, Berlusconi said he was surprised and indignant. Indignant, he said, at the findings of the poll. So what would you expect? You'd expect him to stand up and make a statement in defense?
Jews are not the threat to world peace.
Right. Or even, how about Islam does have a right to exist?
Yeah.
How about Islam is a threat to world peace? Well, here's what he had to say. This is as close to supporting the Jews as you can get in Europe if you're a political leader. He said, quote, Europe is strongly committed to finding peace in the Middle East, unquote.
That was about it.
Yeah.
And so is Hamas.
Exactly.
By killing all the Jews.
Right. So is Silvio leaving the door open to the Hamas solution?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like he might be. What's up with the Europeans?
Well, they're a bunch of nihilists.
Nihilists. Hey, that came up on the show, last night.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I was confused as to the definition of nihilism or nihilism. Some people call it nihilism.
It's the study of the Nile River, right? Nihilism.
Right. And nihilism is the study of Neil Diamond.
Oh.
I don't know.
Or Curly Neil.
Curly Neil.
Wasn't he one of the Harlem Globetrotters?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Going way back.
Anyway, study of one of those Neils. A study of Neils, maybe.
All right.
But that's not what it means. But it does have a pretty – it has a fascinating meaning.
Nihilism is when people believe that there's no truth.
There's no truth.
There's no truth, and especially they hate right and wrong.
Ah.
That's nihilism.
College professors.
Yeah, for the most part.
And European heads of state, people like that.
Right.
So a nihilist is someone who believes that life is – there's no purpose, there's no meaning. No meaning in life.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily someone who denies that they – that denies existence.
No. No one denies existence.
No, some people do.
Well
– some people deny existence.
Well, even the most hardcore atheist or fool can't deny that he exists because you have to exist to deny anything. So if you deny that you exist, you can't do that.
You can't pull that one off.
Remember that other guy with the girl's name, Renee?
Descartes. Descartes,
yeah. He said, I think, therefore I am.
Was that him?
Yeah.
That was a pretty keen insight.
That was good. That was good because you can't deny that you exist. You could deny other people exist.
I suppose
you could.
You
could say, everyone is in my dream.
Okay.
But you can't say that you are a part of someone else's dream. You can't say that.
Right. That's really stretching it.
Yeah, because you have to exist to deny that something exists.
You would think so, Bob, but I've actually met some people who denied not only that existence existed or that matter exists, but that they, in fact, didn't exist.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they doing drugs at the time?
Well, they were college students, and they were probably doing drugs. It'd be interesting to see how that conversation ended at the end of the party.
Well,
if nobody exists.
Right, who's going to pay for the drugs? And then somebody all of a sudden exists.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Doug, did you see the video, Doug, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life?
I saw the video. I watched it with an atheist who does not deny existence. He admits he exists.
Oh, good.
He denies God's existence.
So that video, we're selling that for $24.95. It's professionally produced.
Very nice.
It's over an hour long. It is the best refuting program I've ever seen against evolution. It is extraordinary.
And it's something that you can sit and watch with someone who has an IQ of 140 or higher and not be – and seriously watch them be – they're riveted to the screen,
yeah.
Especially people who understand physics and biology, and they've studied a few of the things like that.
It's a fascinating video that shows that evolution is not true.
Yeah.
We did not evolve from apes or slime or
exactly. And you know
fish.
What else is great about this video is you can watch it with a 6-year-old too.
Yeah.
And they understand.
Because it's so entertaining.
Yeah, it's so well done. The graphics are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah, the
graphics.
Animation of how the cell works.
Yeah.
And the bacteria, the flagellum, the outboard motor. Just a great video. So give us a call and order that, or online. You can see more about it at kgov.com, kgov.com, or call us at 1-800-836-9278. Get it for a friend. So, hey, Doug, we're going to have to go to the phones in
a
minute here.
They're stacking up here.
But, Doug, that Rene Descartes.
Rene Descartes. Was it a guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, therefore, I am Sam,
yeah, okay.
Or whoever he is. I never studied Latin, but I think it was something like cogito, ergo, sum, or sum.
Okay.
I think, therefore, I am. It's such a powerful statement because no matter how much of a nihilist you are and you deny that all that existence, you say it has no meaning. It's senseless. It's useless. There's no grounds for truth.
Right. Like there's no point to any of this.
Yeah. There's definitely no right or wrong. And they hate traditional values.
Yeah.
And a belief in God. They just hate that stuff. But even they can't deny existence.
No, they really
can't. They just can't do it. They're stuck.
Right.
Because if you don't exist, you can't deny anything. So if you were with one of these potheads and they said, well, I don't even believe I exist. You just say, yes, you do.
Yes.
I don't believe I exist. Yes, you do. I do not. You're so cute when you say that. I don't believe I exist. Look at how cute he is. Look at that little dimple. You do too, you moron pothead.
You do exist. You're so cute.
Right. So it's something they can't get away with.
Right.
Saying that they could say, they could maintain, and we deal with this in the debate with Zaketh, does God exist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We deal with the atheist who says everyone else is part of my dream.
Right.
That none of you are real.
Mm-hmm.
I am the only truth.
Right.
So we deal with that stupidity.
Yeah.
And it's sort of fun how you dismantle that.
Yeah, and it can be dismantled.
Oh, yeah.
And folks, you should get a copy of Does God Exist? The Debate, Bob Enyart versus Zaketh.
It's fun.
Go to kgov.com, click on it, find out about it. It's really awesome.
All right. Shoot, let's before we go to the next story,
yes,
you got an O'Reilly O'Reilly segment.
We have an O'Reilly O'Reilly segment, but let's go to the phones first.
All right. Who do we got?
David in Kokomo, Indiana. Speak your mind.
Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Howdy.
You did a good job last night, Doug.
Well, thanks, David. I appreciate it.
I listened to it on KGov today.
All right. So are you here to chastise me about something?
Oh, no. Oh,
okay.
No. I was beginning to wonder if I was actually here or not, but I think I do exist. You had
all
me
right.
confused.
Good.
I got a question, really nothing to do with what you've talked about so far, but I know in the past shows I've heard you talk about the situation in Florida where the lady's on life support. And
Terry Schiavo, her alleged husband wants her dead, and her family has offered to care for her at home. And so they've now reinserted the feeding tube, and there's still a battle to kill her.
Right.
Yeah, the ACLU's on board.
Yeah, they
fighting for the rights, obviously, for a disabled woman. What?
Yeah, right.
What?
Right.
They want to kill a disabled woman, the ACLU?
Yeah, they sure do.
What a shocker.
And I totally agree with you guys on that. You know, I mean, she's a human being. You know, she's not dead.
Yeah, and it's okay to die, but she's not dying. They want to kill her. So it's okay to let her die if she's dying. But she's not dying, so you just feed her. You don't freeze her to death. You don't drain her blood. You don't slit her throat. You don't starve her to death. You feed her, and if she dies, she dies. And if she doesn't, there are people who will care for her. Her alleged husband has a living girlfriend and two kids by the living girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
And that's been going on for years.
Yeah, I didn't see that part on the news.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, so he's, you know, he's her husband. If we believe in polygamy, I guess.
Well, now that brings up another question that you probably don't even want me to get into.
No, I think you're probably
because right. I don't remember if I asked you this yet, Bob. I think we discussed it briefly.
Yeah.
But let's say, let me try to put it in context.
All right, and David, we're not going to avoid your question. Hang on here.
Yeah, this is about your story. Now, let's say you're the judge, and this guy who was on Larry King, I forget his name, the scumbag.
Oh, the father.
Okay. The guy who wants to kill his wife.
The husband.
He comes into your court, right?
Yeah.
And he says, my wife is in a persistent vegetative state. She's unresponsive. I can't communicate with her. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm a scumbag. I have an important life. I want a divorce. What do you do as the judge?
Oh, so can you divorce someone who's in that situation?
Right. Not can you or should you even. I don't know. Obviously, you shouldn't. It's morally reprehensible to turn your back on.
You could divorce someone. Let's say somebody goes. You're married to somebody who goes to jail because they robbed the bank.
Okay.
And so you have now effectively been abandoned. And he didn't plan to abandon you, but he planned to rob the bank.
Right.
And he got caught, and therefore he can no longer be your husband. You could rightly, justly divorce him in that circumstance.
Okay.
But if you're married to a guy, and through no fault of his own, he wasn't drunk, he got hit by a car, and he's now an invalid.
Right.
You can't divorce him because of that.
Wow.
It's till death do us part in sickness and health.
Okay, now you as the judge... It's obvious to you that this guy wants to kill this woman, and he's going to do all he can to have her starve.
It's obvious to me. It's not obvious to this moron.
Well, maybe
judge.
It's not obvious to the, but no. to you. I mean, and I don't know. Maybe it's not even worse.
So
anyway,
he shouldn't. He should not have been given the right to divorce her, even though he doesn't need to because he's just shacking up with some other woman.
Well, right. I mean,
and he wanted to stay married so he could get the money.
Right.
To for her rehabilitation, which he's kept all of it for himself, and he used none of it, which was a large sum, for her.
Yeah,
so he was the model husband until he got the money for the first few years.
Right. Okay, now here's where I'm confused.
Yeah.
Is that in the Bible it says that God gave divorce. God hates divorce, it says in the Bible. He hates it.
Right.
But because of the hardness of your hearts, he allows it.
Yeah, so that if some, let's say... A woman is married to a guy who's having perpetual affairs.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to be tormented by being stuck to him. So God is merciful. Just like, you know, it wasn't that way from the beginning, but spanking wasn't that way from the beginning.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God didn't tell Adam and Eve, spank your kids. But once the fall happened and sin came into the human race, then God has... permit it and regulate it, spanking, divorce,
right.
and things that are necessary because we're sinful.
So this might have been my confusion was I thought that this guy, Schiavo, is like, that's a hard-hearted guy to me. Mm-hmm. His heart is hard and he hates his wife. And I don't know. As a judge, I would say, look, if you're going to divorce her and she's going to be able to go back to her family... Go ahead and live your life. I'll see you on Judgment Day. But I don't know. Yeah. But it's a complicated situation because people are so
things are not right and wrong anymore. They're all broken. In the view of our government, nothing.
But I agree with you that for a man to want to divorce his wife in that condition, he's a morally reprehensible scumbag.
Right.
Who should? I don't know what should happen. But anyway,
are
David,
you upset at him, Doug?
I'm upset with him.
Okay, let's go back to David.
Yeah.
Go ahead with your question.
Well, I'm an estate planner, and I'm not a lawyer, by the way.
All right, good. That's...
Your mother will be very pleased to hear.
Yeah,
that.
I know you don't allow those to call in. But,
yeah, that's right.
No lawyers. Calls better than that. But one of the documents that is involved in estate planning is a living will.
No.
Which is basically a person putting down on paper whether or not they would like to have artificial life support.
Mm-hmm.
And since this case in Florida, it's caused me, you know, kind of a moral dilemma because, you know, what's right and what's wrong. But the case in Florida, obviously, it would be wrong to unhook her from a feeding tube and starve
right.
her to
life
death.
Support these days means food and water.
I guess so.
Yeah, and there is such a low level of respect for human life in the medical community that it's really scary to let that kind of decision be made by doctors or judges. And so I would not sign, like, on when you get your driver's license yeah. and they want you to sign that they can use your organs.
Yeah.
Organ donation is a great and wonderful thing. It's kept many people alive and improved a lot of lives. And I'm not against that at all. But I don't want to give the decision to an emergency room doctor at 3 a.m. who doesn't know about my kids or grandkids or my role in life or there are too many liberals, I have to outlive them. He doesn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And so I want my family to decide, and I don't want to write anything down where the government can say later in who knows what circumstance, well, he wanted to die.
Yeah.
And if they think they can use your eyes and use your liver, use your kidneys, use your heart, they're going to be more inclined to end it sooner than later. Mm. And I don't trust our medical establishment. I don't trust them because they're a bunch of pro-aborts. And when you're a pro-abort, when you're willing to kill innocent children, then you gravitate toward killing other people to make yourself feel better about the kids you kill. You're looking for reasons to say, hey, here's a good reason to kill this person. So that's why I don't like that stuff.
Hey, David?
Well, yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
The people who come to you who are preparing a living will, who are they willing this responsibility to decide about life support?
Well, they're either making the decision to be on life support or to not be on life support or to leave it up to their healthcare representative, which is usually one of their sons or daughters.
Yeah, and I would say that's a much better decision generally or to... You see, the problem is life support.
Yeah, where
right?
do we draw
People
the line?
Think of an iron lung.
Yeah, that's
and you're
what
in
I
this
think.
Big machine and it's sucking out your abdomen.
Yeah, I'm thinking the
heart
lung machine.
Yeah.
You know, it's pumping your blood, it's breathing for you, it's
right.
doing everything.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's not what they're talking about. Once you sign that, they're talking about food and water. They're talking about starving you to death if it's convenient for. Maybe your grandkids want the money, or the insurance company doesn't want to pay, or the doctor is a pro-abort, and he tends to kill people because it makes him feel better. He thinks he's helping.
Now, we should try to establish, where's the logic? If I guess the logic in the Terry Schiavo case would be, since she cannot feed herself nor drink on her own, then these are extraordinary means, and it's okay to
right.
kill her.
Right.
But I think that logic breaks down pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to break that, to crack that one.
Yeah, that's not extraordinary medical care, food and water.
Right.
In fact, they don't even call it food and water. They call it hydration and artificial nourishment.
Artificial nourishment.
Yeah, artificial nourishment and hydration.
Which
artificial nourishment means food.
Yeah.
And hydration is water.
Right.
So they don't say we're going to starve her to death. They don't say that.
No.
They don't say we're going to withhold food and water. They say we're going to cease artificial nourishment and hydration.
Right. Right.
Well, I guess a well-written living will could, you know, exclude that or
yeah,
whatever. But
that's true.
If this guy is his wife's healthcare representative and it's left up to him, then you know that's the problem.
That right, exactly.
He wants to kill her
because the government doesn't know right from wrong. So,
no.
David, that's
yeah.
something you can do is, you know, look toward a better living will.
Uh huh.
And one thing you might want to call Colorado Right to Life because of all the pro-life organizations I've ever met with. Even though you're in Indiana. The Colorado Group, they're the best. They'll help you think through it. All right, Doug, so we've got 1 minute, 45 seconds, and then the Denver audience joins us.
Yeah.
But the website, the store, is now expanded a bit.
Yes, and Christmas is coming up, is it not? Am I mistaken about that?
Yeah, that's right.
6 weeks or so from now, you're going to need a gift, or you're going to want to give a gift to someone you love.
Yeah, and we should tell that to the Denver audience in a moment. But in the store, if you go into Partners, we have CafePress.com.
CafePress.com.
And you could get Bob and Yurt Live. Here, I'll show you.
Yeah,
you
show
get
me on the screen.
Bob and Yurt Live. You know,
hey,
what do you
cool.
call these? Like mugs, apparel, jackets, sweatshirts, or Does God Exist logo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Products.
They got the T-shirt,
really
right?
Let's let the Denver audience know about this, Doug.
Yeah, we don't want to keep all this to ourselves or just with our.
No, this is our store online has expanded. KGov.com, the Bob and Yurt Live store.
Yeah, KGOV.com.
Yeah, now you could get Bob and Yurt Live accessories. Like, I'll show you some of this, right, on the screen.
Novelties, is that what they're called? Or
yeah.
is it paraphernalia?
Let's see. I'm going to click on baby stuff, for example.
Baby? Bob and Yurt baby stuff?
Yeah, look. The Bob and Yurt Live logo, the Bob and Yurt Live bib. The infant T-shirt, the infant creeper.
Are
they
probably
cute
listening.
Or what?
Me and my wife want to have another baby so that we can get that bib.
The Bob and Yurt Live toddler T-shirt.
That is great.
And then, of course, hats. And then let's say the Battle Royale 7 Does God Exist logo on mugs and bibs and
hats, T-shirts.
Yeah, all kinds of apparel, sweatshirts. Hoodies, everything.
Yeah, that's great.
Hoodies, I never said that word in my life.
Now, how do you get to this? You go to KGOV.com.
Yeah, KGOV.com.
And where do you click once you get to KGOV.com?
On the top right is the store, the Bob and Yurt Live Materials.
Yeah.
And then you just go to the Partners.
Oh, Partners.
Look
that's
at
awesome.
CafePress.com. It's really neat stuff. And this will make a good Christmas present for a fan of the show, somebody who likes the show. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-Yurt. Doug, why don't you grab, what is that, line 17?
17, we're
going
to go to line 17, and Gordon in Littleton, speak your mind.
Hi, this is Mr. N-Yurt, and Doug, is that correct?
That's us.
Hey, I had a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What do you guys think about Durst getting off today?
Oh,
not guilty.
Well,
not guilty.
How could he be guilty since he chopped up the body and hit it? How could he possibly be guilty?
Gordon, do you want to hear something interesting?
Yeah, go ahead.
My wife last night on Court TV watched the Court TV mugshots on this case.
Yeah.
And when it came on this morning, she told me, she said, is that it? I just watched that last night. It's so obvious that this guy killed so many people.
He's so obviously guilty.
Yeah.
But, Gordon, that's why they found him not guilty.
Right, exactly.
Because the juries in America today, if there's enough evidence against you, you obviously must be innocent.
Why is that?
Because they've seen Perry Mason every episode
right.
in about 1,000 Hollywood TVs and movies where when all the evidence is against you, you're innocent.
You know, that is a really good point.
it's shocking. Here, listen to this, Gordon.
I was stunned.
He says he accidentally killed the guy, but then he admits that, yes, I did chop the body up. Yes, I did put it in plastic bags, and then I hid it to cover up this accidental shooting.
That's normal behavior.
Yeah.
And he's like a lifetime criminal.
Oh, well, and not only that, but you know why he was his reason for being dressed up like that and hiding out of that
You mean the cross-dressing?
He was cross-dressing like a woman.
Yeah, but do you know why?
Because he was a fan of the Village People.
Because he was on the run from the law.
Because he'd murdered his wife.
Right.
But that's a baseless accusation. A baseless accusation.
Yeah.
Well, that's what his lawyer said.
Exactly.
So he's suspected of killing two other people that we know about.
Right.
And then there's this guy who he admits he killed, chopped up, put in a bag, and hid.
He's obviously not guilty.
Obviously not.
But you know what?
How could he be guilty with all that evidence?
All that evidence.
It has to be manufactured.
There has to be something we're missing here.
Well, you know, I kind of thought that this kind of goes along with what you guys were just talking about in terms of when you can murder a baby in the womb, then the valuation of life goes so far down. And I think that you see it on both sides. You see the people that should be being put to death, they're not being put to death, and even heralded sometimes like O.J. Simpson.
Wow. Right.
And the people that shouldn't be put to death, innocent children, they're being killed.
Very good
point. And I know you guys have been proponents about that for a long time.
Yeah, and there's Johnny Cochran, who's a celebrity.
Yeah.
And he helped to mainstream murder.
Right.
Getting O.J. Simpson acquitted.
Sure.
And so then his own son, after that trial, we point out occasionally here, his own son was murdered, Johnny Cochran's
right.
son. And so he didn't do the trial pro bono.
No.
No.
No, he didn't.
He paid a price.
Right, with the blood of his son.
Wow, that's wild. I never even thought of that.
His time was paid for.
That's tough.
And you know, lawyers, they bill more, they have more billable hours than they have hours, breathable
in the
hours.
Day, right.
Breathable hours.
Right.
Beautiful
their billable hours exceed their breathable hours.
Listen to this, Gordon. You want to know how bad it's gotten? Durst, in his own testimony, acknowledged that he used two saws and an axe to cut up the body of the victim and threw the pieces into Galveston Bay. The victim's head has never been found, but Durst testified that he could not recall details about dismembering the body.
Well, did you guys hear what some of the jurors said? I was stunned.
I haven't had an opportunity.
One of them said he didn't buy how the prosecutor was putting it all together.
Right. And I heard one of the women say it was the hardest thing she'd ever done in her life because it was the first time she served on a trial, and to make that kind of decision was so difficult. How could it be difficult to find the guy guilty?
Well, and that's another bit of evidence that the jury system is a really terrible idea.
Yeah,
it is a bad idea.
Really bad idea. It's like going to World War II against the Nazis, and what are you going to get? Three housewives and a plumber.
Exactly.
And who else to make a decision? Are you going to kill these guys that are shooting at you or not? And the woman's going to say, well, he looks just like my son.
Oh, no.
So that's not the way you decide who should live and who should die by a committee.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good point. Hey, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but isn't there some place in the Bible that talks about if you don't like putting murderers to death swiftly or something like that, then your society will be run over with crime, or if you do it the way God says, you won't have crime, something like that?
Well, yeah.
There's words to that effect in the Bible.
God promises that if you execute the criminal, that you will not have a crime epidemic. He says that pretty blatantly. He promises that you will put the wickedness away from you, And men's hearts will not be set in them to do evil if you swiftly punish the criminal. That's in Ecclesiastes.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes, okay.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes that, let's see, what is that? Ecclesiastes.
Well, why don't you look it up real quick? Yeah, now, that's an interesting study in logic here, Gordon. Earlier I talked about how where does the logic break down if someone can't feed or drink on their own,
right,
that we have the right to kill them. And you could say, well, a 3-month-old child can't feed himself and drink all by himself, so do we have the right to kill him?
Warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Your Live that
you would like to
censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. This warning gives you fair notice. I'm looking up the verse while I'm talking.
Okay.
Fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
And this truth that you're about to utter, unlike the example I just gave, the logic does not break down no matter how many things you try to apply it to.
Yeah, well,
go ahead with it. It's
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Wow.
So we have
a... Can you give me that verse again? I want to write that down.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes 8:11.
So
we have a crime epidemic because the sentence against criminals is not executed speedily. And if you don't execute them at all, obviously, you don't punish them at all. That's a real problem. But then also, let's see. But also Deuteronomy, let's see here.
There's other verses. As we said earlier, there are words to that effect in the Bible. And the
logic
doesn't
one.
Break down because you can apply that. That's a fundamentally true statement that if criminals think they might have a good chance of getting away with it, you'll have more criminals because they think they can get away with it.
Right. Exactly.
Seems pretty logical to me.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You can't break that logic down.
You know, I've got your is it Mount Moriah? I've got your Mount Moriah videotape, which is just excellent. It's great.
Thank you.
You need to put it together something that would explain these biblical type laws to people that we could use. It would be a big help.
Well, you know, we had for a long time, we had God's criminal justice system audio tape album.
Yeah.
But we took that off the market, and we hope to reintroduce it.
Did we do that? Did we do that because we thought that the government was going to come and storm the building or something?
No. Let me see here. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Let's see here. Deuteronomy 19.
Hey, Gordon, while Bob's looking for the verse, I want to let you know, I don't want you to be down, okay? And don't let this get you down, the case against Durst and him being found not guilty.
Well,
because according to the article that I pulled off the Associated Press today, there's a really good chance that they are going to be able to get a conviction on jumping bail.
Oh, boy.
Which he's also admitted to doing.
That's great. And get credit for time served or something like that.
Well, I don't know. But isn't that embarrassing that he chops someone up and throw them in the ocean? We're going to find you guilty of jumping.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable.
In Deuteronomy chapter 19, God is speaking to the judge in the government. Your eyes shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And those who remain shall hear and fear. And hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you.
Oh, man, those two are great.
Yeah, and that idea is elsewhere in the Bible that God is saying there will be a deterrent effect if you swiftly punish criminals, convicted criminals, there will be a deterrent.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah.
And that's just what I was thinking of, those two verses that you were talking about. I knew I'd seen something in there about that.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, I hope you put that back out again sometime, because I'd love to get something like that to wear.
All right. God's criminal justice system, we call it. And we actually have a syllabus, which is about a 12-page write-up.
Is that something about the law? I mean, modern day law, or law that would...
Well, yeah. Our syllabus is, you know, it's a list of, it's an argument first for the death penalty.
Okay.
Out of the Bible. And then it gives examples of... Like, for example, what does the Bible say about the selection of judges, the appeal process, admissibility of evidence?
Perjury,
contempt of court, attempted crimes. What if somebody attempts to commit a crime, but they don't quite commit it? Do they get, you know, what do they get?
Well, I know nowadays you get way less if you don't succeed.
Yeah, which is so stupid. I tried to murder her, Your Honor, but I couldn't shoot straight.
Right.
Well, you get credit for being a bad punishment.
Yeah, you get credit for being a public school alumnus.
Oh, man.
All right.
Not to beat up on all public schools. Oh, no, wait a minute. Actually, we do intend to
beat up. We might as well beat up on all.
Sorry about that. I was trying to be
diplomatic. Because they're all godless.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, anything else, Gordon?
No, I just wanted to tell you guys thanks for that. And I'm glad you're able to point those two verses. I'll jot them down like I can use them in the future.
Yeah, they're cool, aren't they?
Yeah, they're excellent.
All right. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you guys. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Gordon. All right. And now we're going to continue with the phones. We're going to go to Johnny in go ahead.
Line 29.
I can't read that.
Compton, California. Johnny, speak your mind.
Johnny,
hey, how you guys doing?
Johnny from Compton.
It's doing well, sir. Howdy.
Johnny, I just want to let you know, I think I got an email from you today. But I could not do it on the air because there's just too much there.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Well, hold on. I got to be let in on this.
Yeah.
We'll go to the break and we'll be right back with Johnny. Bob Inyart, 1-800-836-9278. Well, we just finished our Colossians Bible study.
Yeah.
So the album, we've got tape 8. It's an 8-tape album. And so that's now added to, we've got, I haven't counted them in a while.
40 or 50
27,
albums?
28 albums.
Is it Bible study
albums. It's really fun. Now we're doing the Book of Esther.
Now people can sign up to get one of these Bible study albums that either cover a book of the Bible, a section of the Bible, or a topic.
Once a month.
Once a month they could receive anywhere from 6 to 8 tape albums.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous resource.
Yeah, it's cool. For $34.95 a month, or you could call us up and say, I'd like to try one of these Bible studies.
Yeah.
What should I begin with? And we'll probably recommend the plot, the overview of the whole Bible, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a great place to start if you're interested in that study of whatever happened at that tree and with the tree.
Right, that tree.
That is
now, that's
fun.
A story, Bob, that I feel has been neglected by Bible teachers throughout history.
It's really fun. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Excellent
what
study.
What a fun study. And or you can say, hey, I'll just jump in with both feet and sign up with a credit card, $34.95 a month. And about the middle of the month, well, now that the office is running better, even a little before the middle of the month, you'll get your album mailed to you.
Yeah.
And 30-day money-back guarantee.
Right.
If not satisfied.
Which we don't get many returns around here.
Because we're always satisfied with the money.
Well, exactly.
Oh, no, that's not how it works.
No, it's the opposite.
The customer has to be satisfied with the Bible study tape. That's right. But you'll enjoy the Bible study if history is any example.
Yeah, there's a phenomenal you got three studies on the book of Romans that you get in there.
Romans.
Yeah. Oh, just tremendous stuff.
Fun. So we go through, you know, we go into the Gospels, the Old Testament, Genesis. We go through the whole book of Genesis, Exodus.
Oh, now Genesis. Genesis is phenomenal.
So much fun.
Phenomenal. There's such a wealth of information.
It'll just blow your mind.
Yeah.
Trust me. But anyway.
Sign up. Go to KGOV.com. Click on the store. Go sign up for the monthly albums or call 1-800-836-9278.
We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. Not that one. No, 29.
Line 29?
Yeah, 29.
Okay.
All right, Johnny?
Yeah.
You're back with us.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.
Go ahead.
Bob, I have a question. I was talking to one of my coworkers, and we were talking about the age of the earth.
Yes.
And he mentioned something that I'm quite familiar with. You know how we pretty much know the speed of light.
Right.
How fast
is the speed of light anyway?
186 million miles. 186,000 miles a second.
Yes, that's fast.
That's getting right
down. That's about 6 trillion miles a year.
That's moving right along.
That's fast.
Now, and we know that. I'm pretty sure we know that without – there's really no dispute, is there?
No, that's pretty accurate measurement.
Except among the nihilists,
Yeah, who don't know anything.
Right.
light is fast.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead, Johnny. Now that we agree, the three of us, that light is fast.
Right.
Go ahead.
And they, from what I understand, have a pretty good – estimate on how far a lot of galaxies and stars are.
Well, I think
using parallax or triangulation.
Well, you can only triangulate to the very closest stars, but then if a star supernovas and lights up a band of gas around it, then you have something a lot bigger than a single star to triangulate to. So we have been able to apparently triangulate out pretty far to some trillions of miles. Some tens of trillions of miles. But then triangulation quickly becomes useless as soon as you get, you know, far out, you know, through our galaxy and into other galaxies. You can't triangulate anymore. They're too far away. So you have to analyze the beam of light coming to us. And doing that is, you know, we may or may not do a very good job with that.
Hmm.
Okay.
But undoubtedly, these things are very, 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 very far away. Now, I think quasars, are going to cause a chunk of astronomical, you know, things that they consider to be the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Quasars is going to cause some of that to fall apart eventually because there's just evidence that quasars are not as far away. They couldn't be as bright as they are if they were in other galaxies.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I went to public school, and could you just tell me what a quasar is?
Oh, a quasar?
Yeah.
That's a commercial in any Rosie O'Donnell show. Oh, no, a quasar. An extremely bright object in the sky, a star-like object.
Yeah.
They call it star-like because they think there are quasars in other galaxies. But they're so bright, they seem like stars.
Huh.
And so there's a debate, even among non-creationist scientists, over are these quasars really as far away as astronomers think they are?
Hmm.
And I have no – obviously, galaxies, things are, you know, thousands or millions of light years away.
Right.
Seems pretty obvious.
Right.
But I don't think that we have the last word as to how far away they really are, because I think we assume we know more than we do. But these things are very far away.
Yeah.
So, Johnny, so what's the question then?
Well, he told me by doing simple math and dividing in, dividing the distance by the rate
right.
that light travels, we end up with billions of years.
Billions of years. That's yeah. true. You do end up with that.
Yeah, billions and billions even.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
he said that proves that the universe is billions of years old.
Okay. Well, if so that's if you're starting with an a priori assumption, like if you're already assuming what you want to conclude.
You're assuming that it all started at a central point and exploded out.
Well, or let's say you want to assume that there was no creation, that there's
okay.
no God.
Okay, yeah.
Because if there's a God and God created, then when he created Adam, what did Adam look like? Did he look like an infant or did he look like a grown man? And when God created trees, did he create seeds and plant them? Or did he create trees that had fruit on them the day they were created?
Hmm.
And so if there is no God, then there could not be a creation. If there is a God, then there could be a creation. And he could have, if he created the universe, then could he also say, let there be light and fill it with light?
Put light anywhere he wanted.
Could he do that or could he not? And of course he could. And what the Bible says on a few occasions is that he created the universe. It says that he stretched out the universe. Mm. It says over and over and over that he stretched out the heavens.
That's right.
So I believe that God created the universe and the stars, and he literally stretched out the heavens. And so he pulled the light through the universe instantly, within seconds or hours or days at
the
most.
So he did create the light in between.
Well, that's not exactly the same as saying he stretched it out. I don't think he created a beam of light, say, 10 trillion miles long. I think he created the light-giving sources, and then he stretched out the light. Hmm. He pulled it. He pulled it through the universe.
So well, how long would that take? Because if he pulled it, and he pulled it, say, instantaneously, that doesn't give time for the light to...
No, but right. The light of its own accord... You know, a star cannot make itself from nothing. A star can't just make itself from nothing. So God made the stars, and he said, let there be light, which is interesting that we now have pretty good reason to believe light is one of the fundamental building blocks of existence.
Right.
It's so unique. It's so crucial. And the Bible begins with God creating matter and space. And the first thing he says then is, let there be light, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Really. And so he stretched out the heavens and filled the universe. So I don't believe he created a 10 trillion mile long beam of light, but he created the light source and stretched the light. So he pulled it. For example, he pulled it out of the sun to the earth. And could he do that instantly? Or within seconds or hours or days? Well, of course he could, because
Bob,
he created the stars and the light.
If he didn't create the light beam in between, well, whenever we see the sun, I mean, the light is constantly traveling to us from the sun.
Yeah.
So if God stretched the stars out, then in order for us to see the light, we would have to assume that as he's stretching it out, that the star at the same time is beaming back light to the earth at a speed that's comparable to the speed at which God stretched the universe out.
Well, I'm not sure that I followed you. I think
okay.
I did. But, well, you know, even the Big Bang Theory with this idea of the initial inflation that lasted a thousandth of a second or something, and at that time – everything that came out of the Big Bang was going way faster than the speed of light, and it filled the universe. And then things screeched to a halt, down to 186,000 miles per second for any light that was out there.
Hmm.
But even the secular world, when they look at the vast expanse of the universe, many of the secular atheists astrophysicists believe that when things started, things were moving a lot faster
than
they could move right now.
Hmm.
But we don't have to appeal to that. You know, they're trying, they're desperately groping in the darkness for some way to explain this awesome universe we have.
Right. Well, I went to a creation site, and I think that they described it, or at least they made the case that that the speed of light possibly hasn't been consistent.
Well, that's one belief, and but I disagree with that in that those who argue that it's decayed gradually over time, I don't think that's true. But if you want to say that the first seconds of when God stretched out the heavens, that we take that into account as the initial speed of light, then okay, the speed of light is slowed down.
Hmm.
But that seems to me to be something significantly different than what we call the speed of light. If God is stretching out the very fabric of the universe and pulling the light out of the stars, for example, if that's what he's doing, you know, you could say, okay, that was the original speed of light, and now it's way slower.
Or you could say that was the speed of light during that particular event.
Yeah, that was God stretching out the light.
Right.
If, for example, let's say God, he put the sun 93 million miles away from us, and if he wanted the light to be on the earth instantly, within, say, 1 second, he pulls the light from the sun. And at that second, he stops, and there's still 8 minutes worth of light behind those photons. They're still coming. So as soon as he stops stretching, all the light from the sun is already in transit. The earth is illuminated, and the sun is giving off its light. And from that point on, it's normal light. That's the presentation I think the Bible makes to us. That's how God filled the universe with light in the creation week.
Okay.
So what a scientist could do if they say, well, that's not logical or it's not rational because, and then they could try to offer an objection.
Sure.
But it's really hard to do that. Whereas they say, here's what we think. We think it was a big bang, whatever, and we offer logical objections to their theory.
By the hundreds.
Yeah, right.
By the hundreds you offer them.
Yeah.
And they're ignored.
And they struggle, of course, to defend their godless view of how everything got here.
The people who hate God don't want to hear the facts.
Yeah.
They don't want to be confused.
Like life itself. Yeah.
And, you know, Johnny, that was one of the things I noticed about the – have you seen the video yet, Unlocking the Mystery of Life?
No, I haven't.
Well, I highly recommend it, but there's one thing that might depress you a little bit.
What?
Is there's videotape of this meeting that took place about 10 years ago between the greatest minds in the scientific world, and they're just trying to establish intelligent design. It's as if we've retarded the entire civilization.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They should be building our flying cars by now. They should not be discussing.
After 6,000 years, the brightest scientists are saying, you know, maybe this was all designed. Johnny, thank you. We have 10 seconds left. Anything else?
Well, I did want to ask you if the Book of Enoch is worth, the Apocryphal Book of Enoch is worth reading.
Well, only for entertainment.
You don't think it is...
valid?
Truth or God-inspired?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, I just heard there's a different creation account in there.
Well, Romans chapter 3 says that we got the oracles of God from the Jews. God committed the Bible to the Jews. And the Jews, at the time of Jesus, they never believed that the Book of Enoch was part of Scripture.
Okay,
and
I get it.
Jesus and the apostles didn't quote from the Book of Enoch. They quote from virtually every book of the Old Testament.
Okay.
I think
so it wasn't part of
two.
The so-called canon.
Definitely not. Never.
Okay.
In Christ's day with the apostles, the prophets. Hey, Johnny, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
God bless you. Doug, thank you for joining.
Big kick, Bob. Loved it.
All right. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.